I do appreciate the good song service and the good prayer. You know, I hope that God's people all across this world are praying such prayers unto our God for his mercy upon us, for we know he's able to deliver us, and we are in desperate need of his deliverance, aren't we? And he's the only one that can do it. I don't care who sits in the Oval Office. God is the only one that can deliver us. I'll borrow a phrase from Brother Marty Smith this morning. This is the word of the Lord, as you'll find in Psalm 27. I want to read the first four verses. Psalm 27, the subtitle there says, A Psalm of David. Certainly, as we read the Psalms, you know, when you read certain books of the Bible and you know who the author is, you get a feel for how they write and how they express themselves. And so, you know, I know it's subjective, but to me, that's one of the greatest evidences that the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. I know that's a big controversy among many. I didn't realize it was such a controversy, but it is. But I'm satisfied that Paul wrote it, but then that really doesn't matter, does it? It's inspired of the Holy Spirit, and that does matter. And so, but my point is, there are psalms where we're just accustomed to David saying certain things in certain ways. We're accustomed to, because we know of the life of David, the experiences of David, the deliverances that God, I mean mighty deliverances God gave unto David. Doesn't that just thrill your soul when you think about how that God delivered David in so many mighty ways? And then when he would write those psalms, you know he's drawing from those experiences. The tremendous confidence, the desire. I've heard it this morning in the songs, I've heard it in the prayer. The desire to praise the Lord and serve him all our days. When you've been blessed to see his power being working on your behalf, it puts wind in your sails. It puts confidence in your heart to trust the Lord. All right, Psalm 27. Maybe you found it by now. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Here's our subject this morning. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. David didn't stop there, but I'm going to. In my thoughts this morning, as I've pondered this week, our thoughts this morning have rested on verse 4. One thing. Now, a casual reading of that verse 4 might cause you to think that David really is not asking for one thing, but several things. But a careful reading, you'll find that he's got one object in mind. And then the other things that he says are things, are activities that will keep him there. That's good for us to know. That's good for us to remember. That's good for us to practice. Because this is a wonderful thought that he gives us here in verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord. What one thing do you desire of the Lord? If we would take the time to take a poll, we might come up with 15 answers. David clearly tells us the one thing he desired of the Lord. Now, sometimes a one thing can cover a lot of things, can it? Sometimes that one thing is the most important thing. And that's what David has in mind here. His focus, what's important to him. The kind of thought that Jesus gave us when he said, "Seek ye first." Remember that one? Seek ye first, not only, without exception, but seek ye first. In other words, there's a priority, there's an importance, there's something that you need to address there and not leave it off. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. As a matter of fact, that verse kind of sums up what David is expressing here in the Psalms. But Jesus said it this way, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." In other words, we want to be like him, don't we? We want to follow in his paths of righteousness. We want to exhort others to follow in that good and right way. We want to be found in the way of righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And obviously he'd been telling us some things that would be added to us. He talks about food. He talks about raiment. He tells us not to worry about those things. But back in the Psalms, the way David describes this, "One thing have I desired of the Lord." Now, a desire comes from the heart, doesn't it? We're not talking about something trivial. We're not talking about something vain, which is empty and unprofitable. No, we're talking about something of great importance. "One thing have I desired." There's a deepness there, isn't there? There's a great importance there. This is something that David placed above all else, because when he would put this above all else, then everything else will fall into place. Because God will be with us. Draw nigh to him, he'll draw nigh to us. And David, in this expression of this one thing, expresses his desire of the Lord. It's not his fleshly desire. It's not something that the world's going to teach you. But thankfully, it's something that the world can't take away from you. Now, if you let it, it will. You know, I can remember when there started to be such a debate about whether there ought to be prayer in schools. And even as a child, I recognized how foolish that is. Who's going to keep you from praying? They may hinder you from saying an audible prayer, but they can't keep you from praying. How wonderful that God has designed a way for us to speak to him in spirit. That man can't keep from us. They can put the shackles on. They can gag us. They can, you know, do all manner of hindrances to us. But we can still pray and we can still worship and praise God in spirit. Isn't that highly important? And who better to talk about praising God than David? All right, so "one thing have I desired of the Lord." So it doesn't come from the world. It doesn't come from intellect. It doesn't come from the flesh. It has to come from the Lord. And as Brother Elvin ably said in his prayer, "And that by grace." If it weren't for the grace of God, we wouldn't be here today, would we? If it weren't for the grace of God, oh, you could just use that sentence starter, and you could finish it 1,000 ways, can't you? If not for the grace of God. Oh, my goodness. Just think. If it wasn't for the grace of God, where would we be? Well, you could answer that with one word. Lost. Lost. And only by the grace of God are you found. Saved. Redeemed. Preserved. And someday he's going to come fetch us. Do you like that good Bible word? Fetch us. That means he's coming to get us and take us home. Home. That's a good concept, isn't it? Home. David wanted to be careful to maintain his desires. One thing have I desired of the Lord. Do you know other places, like in the Proverbs that we've been studying on Wednesday night, there's so much that's said about our heart and the desires and what's the abundance of the heart and those kinds of things. We have to guard our heart. We have to keep it. Just like a keeper of a prison watches over the door and he decides what comes in and what goes out. We need to be vigilant in guarding our heart, because our heart can get filled up with the things of this world, and when that happens, it pushes out the desire for the things of God. It replaces it. You lose your appetite. It's important, isn't it? And it's hard to get back when you get distracted. You know, like that little principle about when Jesus was with Joseph and Mary, and when Jesus was 12 years old, when they went down to Jerusalem, and they left supposing he was along with them, went a day's journey. Took them 3 days to find him. That's a faithful principle, isn't it? When we get distracted, when we let the world get our attention, it takes a lot longer to get back to it, doesn't it? David understood that. David wanted to stay there. And so this verse expresses to us what he wanted, the one thing he desired of the Lord. And that will I seek after. He recognized it was going to take some effort. He recognized it was going to take some consistent effort. Our relationship with the Lord is sure and steadfast. Will never be changed. But our fellowship with him depends on our choices every day. That's important. And you make many choices throughout your day, don't you? And your spiritual health is the summation of all those little choices. Sometimes we have a big choice to make. Sometimes we're tested. Sometimes we're tried. But generally, we've got a lot of little choices that we make throughout the day. David says, and that will I seek after. This one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. You know, I guess the natural mind would think, well, golly, David knew the Lord so well and he'd been delivered so many times. Why would he have to continue every day to seek after the Lord? Well, we know the answer to that, don't we? And David did too. Because this old flesh will pull us away. If we're not expending energy pressing into the kingdom, the world's going to push us away from it. The flesh is going to push us away from it. And so we press into the kingdom. David, in this verse, expresses that principle of the need to press daily. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. Right? Every day. And follow me. So David said, That will I seek after. But not only did he know there was the need for it, he also knew there was a reward in it. And those that are not seeking after the Lord don't know what that is. But those who are seeking, those who are pressing into the kingdom. You know, Hebrews 11:4, we quote it quite often, or 11:6. Without faith, it's possible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. There are rewards, blessings. Rewards, timely rewards, come to us for timely deeds. I'm not comfortable talking about heaven as a reward. Are you? I just don't like that. I know that some of our songs speak about that, and when you sing it with the understanding, you understand that it is the gift of God. But that word to us in our culture in this day sounds like something you receive by your work. And that's why we shy away from using it. Just like in the day when the song was written, what is it? Anyway, it's the song that has the expression that his blood was spilt for us. And we don't like that word. But in the day that song was written, it was properly understood that that was one of the uses of being poured out, was one of the uses of that work. Well, I understand that. But in our culture today, we don't use that word in that way. And so I just think it's proper if we use words that we understand readily. So there's not a stumbling block to anybody that doesn't understand the history of it and the historical meanings of it. David understood that there was the need to daily press into the kingdom, a daily seeking the Lord. And he knew there were rewards in it because he had experienced them on a multitude of occasions, just like you have. The times that you've been blessed in your meditation upon the Word of God, blessed in the memories you've had of a special meeting or something special that the Lord did for you in your life, an answer to prayer, some of those kinds of things. There are many ways that the Lord does reward us for faithfulness, and he blesses us in far better ways than we could even imagine. David says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after." What is that? That I may dwell. Here's the one thing. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord. Now in David's day, they had a tabernacle and then the temple. Well, he made preparation for it, but they had the tabernacle. It moved around. There was times when the service wasn't done the way it was supposed to be. It varied a little bit. But they had the tabernacle. In other generations in the Old Testament, they had that tabernacle, and then there were times when they had the temple. And it was a place where they would go and assemble and worship, hear the reading of the law, and be together with God's people. In our day, we're blessed with the grace of God to have the church. And what a blessing that is. But just like in the Old Testament temple, we don't have to be at the church house to enjoy fellowship and communion with God, because our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And we're to glorify God in our body. We're to glorify God in our actions. We can rejoice in the things of the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that you can worship God just as well away from the church as you can in the church. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is we have the privilege that we can do both. All right? And what a blessing it is to assemble with other believers, like Precious Faith, that we can worship God and rejoice in these truths together. That's the way God set it up. Because we need fellowship one with another. And what a blessing it is when we can enjoy that. But there are times when we're not here. But we can still have fellowship and communion with God because our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And when David said, "This one thing have I desired of thee, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord." Like I tried to express, the house of the Lord had a little different connotation in the Old Testament than it does in the New. The New Testament also speaks about the household of faith. Wherever several of God's people gather together, bless your hearts, we can enjoy fellowship. We can worship God together. But David said that I may dwell. And I want to dwell on that word dwell for just a moment. Because Jesus did. Remember John 15? There's three words primarily that teach us John 15. Dwell, abide, and remain. They're pretty much synonymous, aren't they? And Jesus over and over is telling us of the need. Just like David is expressing here, he wanted to dwell in the house of the Lord. Not just pass by it. Not just have a casual thought about it. He wanted to dwell in it. In other words, he wanted to be close to the Lord. And he wanted to be close to God's people. He wanted to dwell in the house of the Lord. You know, that dwelling, that abiding, that remaining strengthens us, doesn't it? Like I said, it's just we're not talking about just a casual few minutes now and then. We're talking about enjoying fellowship and communion with God on an extended basis. That it might be deeper. That it might be sweeter. That it might be stronger. Isn't that what we need to face the world and the devil and all of his devices, and to battle against his old flesh? We need the strength that is of the Lord. And David knew he needed to beg God for this. One thing have I desired of the Lord. The Lord's the one who can help us. The Lord's the one who must help us. Okay? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord. Can't you just hear David's strong confidence? And when we have that strong confidence because we've seen the mighty hand of God working on our behalf, I tell you, that strengthens us. That's a blessing to us, to help us to know that he's near, that he's remembering us, that he hasn't forgotten us. And there's nowhere else we'd want to be but in the presence of one that loved us and gave himself for us. Now we, in spirit, feel that presence while we're here. But Jesus would have us to know that it's a very real feeling and it's a very real presence. I think to a great extent the Holy Ghost represents that very real presence of God when you find references to the Holy Ghost as opposed to the Holy Spirit. There just seems to be, when it speaks of the Holy Ghost, there just seems to be a special representation of the presence of God. But I think it's synonymous with the Holy Spirit. All right? And when Jesus said in John chapter 14, "I will not leave you comfortless." Remember that? And that expression, comfortless, he's saying, "I'll not leave you as orphans." Which means, if you think about the plight of the orphan, they don't have anyone to take care of them. They don't have anyone to love them like a mother and father would. But Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you like that. And listen to what he says. I will come to you. Now, let me ask you a question. Have you ever seen with your natural eyes the bodily presence of Jesus? I didn't hear anybody say yes. So how can that be true? Well, when he says, I'll not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. He's speaking about the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Oh, isn't that wonderful? We can feel God's presence. And I tell you, we need those times when we're just right by ourselves. Now, you could be in the presence of others. I remember back when I had to do a lot of traveling and flying into one city early in the week and flying out late in the week. And I tell you, some of you that have traveled, you know, it's a pitiful sight to see a bunch of weary travelers on Friday afternoon in a crowded airport trying to make it to their flights and get where they're going because they want to get home. And I've been on an airplane with 400 people, and I could just close my eyes, and I'm right by myself. And I could have some communion with God at 30,000 feet. It's wonderful the way God has designed that we don't have to be at a geographical location. We don't have to be in his bodily presence, but in spirit we can worship God. We can be with him. We can speak to him, and he can speak to us. Perhaps not in audible words, but in impressions of the heart. And that's so sweet, isn't it? I tell you, those are precious times when we can experience that. And we need more of that. And my desire for covering this verse of Scripture today would encourage us all. I'm sure you have those times, but I would encourage you to have more of them. And I'm not being overbearing, because the Apostle Paul was always exhorting God's people to do more. Because you'll be the happy recipient of the blessings. All right? David said that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. And I take that to mean not just a physical presence in the building, but feeling God's presence, being one of the household of faith. Because if you're there, you'll be showing up at the meeting house. It'll carry over to that. But if you're not there, you're likely not to show up at the meeting house. Right? It's just the way it works. David wanted to be there. And not just on the holy days, not just on the Sabbath days. What's the rest of that verse say? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Oh, how important it is that it be consistent. How important it is that we do this on a regular, daily basis. Hand in hand with Jesus. Oh, what a privilege. You know, we're living in a culture now where they're encroaching on our expression of our religious liberties. I hate to drag that thought to mind, but I'm just using it to illustrate and to amplify that we have that privilege now. You know, the worst regrets are those that you wish you'd have done something when you had the opportunity to do it. Oh, we had the opportunity. We have the privilege. We have the grace of God that's been bestowed upon us, that we can worship Him in spirit and in truth. We can worship Him at the meeting house. We can worship Him at home. We can worship Him wherever we are. And He's worthy of it, isn't He? There's never a moment in time that He's not worthy of our praise and adoration in the highest. David wanted to dwell in the house of the Lord for all his days. Some of you have done a pretty good job of that already. Some of us, as far as nature is concerned, seem to have a lot longer way to go. But each day is precious, isn't it? I just overheard a conversation of someone the other day out in public, and they were talking about in their understanding of it, and I think it was accurate, it just wasn't King James, but they were talking about how our life is a vapor. Both of these gentlemen were retired, and they were talking about a lot of things from way back and all that, but they got to this biblical thought that life is just a vapor. If you live to be 200 years old, what is that compared to eternity? It's nothing. And most of us are not going to get close to 200. Maybe not even, maybe 100. But what is that? That's half of what we said a while ago was nothing. When you think about, what was that expression? Who was it? Somebody, I don't know if it's Elder Bowen or somebody like that that's been here in years past and talking about time and talking about how that our life is, you know, would just be a blip on the radar screen. You know, that's kind of puts you in your place, doesn't it? When you think about how small and short amount of time we really are on this planet. But when we think of it from our perspective, in terms of a lifetime, it seems like a great thing. But the eternal God, was it Deuteronomy 33? The eternal God is thy refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. God has been there for every person, certainly for His people, all down through time, He's been there for them. Same God. People have come and gone. Kings have come and gone. Prophets have come and gone. God is the same. He's been there for all of them. He's there for us today. He'll be with our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, and as long as time remains, He'll be there for them. Our life is short and insignificant, but God is eternal. David, he wanted to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Let's see, David lived to be 60, didn't he? Nothing so impressive about that, except in that day, that was pretty much an average for an older man. But it's not just the length of years. It's each day. Jesus taught us that sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Don't worry about tomorrow. Now, he's not saying you can't make plans. He's not saying that, you know, just through wisdom you need to map out some things. But there's times when people spend a lot of time worrying about things that haven't happened yet. You know, you may remember my favorite Mark Twain quote about, I've experienced some awful things in life, and some of which actually came to pass. Sometimes we worry about things before there's justification to be worried. When you do that, It robs the joy from your day. So whatever few days we might have, there's less joy. Who does that? Got any idea who's up to diligently making sure that he can do all of that he can? Stealing your joy? That's one of his devices, isn't it? We're not ignorant of that device, but sometimes we forget. There's a difference, isn't it? Being ignorant of something and letting it slip. We let plenty of things slip, don't we? David wanted to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life. Brethren, there's so many things we don't have any control over. Let's commit them to the Lord. Let's seek fellowship and communion with him that he might strengthen our heart against those things that come against us that would steal the joys from our days. That's why in the book of Ecclesiastes he says, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, before the evil days come. And he's talking about days of decline and days of inability and days of difficulty and days of trouble and heartaches and sorrows. Oh, treasure up as many days as you can while we have them. Spend it in the house of the Lord. The opportunities to come to the house of the Lord, the building. Opportunities to spend some time with the Lord in our prayer and meditation. However we can spend time with the Lord, it is never wasted. Never is that wasted. He's worthy of every bit of it and more. All right? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Two more things. Now, that was the one thing that he wanted. That he could dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life. Oh, what a worthy goal. Was that your goal when I asked you what one thing you wanted? What a worthy goal. There could be others just as worthy, but that's a worthy goal because it's consistent with what Jesus said of seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But after he stated the object, the goal, then he's given two things here that'll help us stay there. Have you ever set a goal, whether it's personal or business or professional, you know, whatever, you know, is something you wanted to accomplish by a certain time to a certain degree. New Year's resolutions kind of fit into this category, don't they? You know, and you know where I'm going with that one. Sometimes we don't make it. Sometimes we miss it. Sometimes we give up. Sometimes other things distract us and it's just not as important to us as it used to be. Lots of things can interfere. That's why David said this one thing. And that will I seek after. Oh, I want to stay there. I want to keep it in the forefront of my mind. I want to keep it and the blessings and the rewards that I receive from it. I want to stay there. So the object was that he could dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life. And this is how it's going to help him. He says, to behold the beauty of the Lord. If I had announced this subject before the song service and asked you, listen for the beauty of the Lord in our songs, you would have had plenty to listen to. Oh, the songs that we sang this morning, and I had the advantage of sitting there comparing that and sifting it through that filter. Oh, what a blessing. Because the beauty of the Lord is his perfections. We spoke recently of his goodness. The goodness of God. We can speak of the love of God. We can speak of the mercy of God. We can speak of the grace of God. How he's long-suffering. the gentleness of God. Oh, there's just so much. You've got plenty to think about. To think about the goodness and mercy of God. And when you're doing that, it's food to your soul. It'll be strength to you. It'll be praise to Him. It's a win-win situation. And it'll help you stay in a better frame of mind. To behold. I think recently we talked about the glory of God, didn't we? Moses said, "Show me thy glory." Oh, how needful it is for us to see the glory of God. It strengthens us. It strengthens our faith. It encourages us. It strengthens our hope. It strengthens us in many, many ways. And we need that. We're not as strong as we think we are. Satan is more crafty than we think he is. That's why Brother Marty Smith was talking about how that we need to respect his abilities. Not that we have to admire him for anything, but you respect your opponent in his strengths. And Satan does have strengths. Oh, but thank you, Lord, that he's defeated. Thank you, Lord, that he's only got a short time. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to deliver us someday from his very presence. To behold the beauty of the Lord. I would encourage you to spend more time doing that. Think about the goodness of God. Think about his almighty power. Think about those marvelous displays of his power that we have recorded for us in the Old Testament. And remember, he's just the same today. And when it pleases him, he'll split the heavens. Jesus will come back in clouds and power and great glory. When you think about the beauty of the Lord, you know, somewhere on a marquee I've seen, from the lamb to the lion of the tribe of Judah. That's a neat thought in itself, isn't it? How he came as the meek and lowly lamb, but now he's coming back as the lion, the tribe of Judah. He's been the lamb. He'll always be the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Bless your hearts, he's not coming back to do any suffering like he did the first time. He's done that. Bless your hearts, he's coming back in power and great glory. And every eye shall see him. Every eye. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. To behold the beauty. We don't like to think about his sufferings, but it was necessary. Oh, we love to think about his resurrection in power. We love to think about the fact that he died for us. Bless your hearts, death couldn't hold him. He came forth from that tomb. Bless your hearts, he died for us that we might live with him. Behold the beauty of the Lord. And then he says, that he might dwell all the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. To inquire in his temple. That's when we seek wisdom from the Lord. In the Old Testament, they would go to the priest. The priest, at some time in the Old Testament, they had the Urim and Thummim. They had a way of getting an answer from God. That's kind of a mysterious thing in the Old Testament. We don't have much about it. Not much is known about how it was used, but they had it. Today, we've got prayer. Aren't you thankful for prayer? Aren't you thankful for the privilege of prayer? Oh, aren't you thankful that he hears prayers, that he answers prayers, that he works on our behalf, knowing our need even before we ask? There's times that he's working, perhaps every time, he's already working before we even ask. How wonderful. David knew that he needed to continually behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. You know, I've already said, I spent a little time on the fact that we make a lot of decisions every day. Most times it's a lot of little decisions. But however small or however big, if our mindset is wanting to please the Lord, if our mindset is, Lord, what would you have me to do? If our mindset is, I want my every footstep to be in your will, then for whatever, you know, however diligent we are to seek God's will in every decision of life will make a tremendous impact on how much we dwell in the house of the Lord. How much our mind and our heart will be set upon the things of God and doing that which is pleasing to him. And so David realized he needed to continually behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. And to us today, that means to seek his will for us in our lives. It's needful. If you start leaving it off, you're going to start missing it. It's going to start having its impact upon our spirituality. Oh, but bless your hearts, if we could follow this little pattern that David gave us, it would help us do a better job of dwelling, abiding, remaining in that spiritual mindset all the days of our lives. One more time. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Brethren, are you beholding the beauty of the Lord every day? Are you seeking his guidance to do his will with every decision of life? It'll make an impact on how much we dwell in the house of the Lord. May God bless you, is our prayer.